Good afternoon and welcome to Focus on the Foothills. My name is Angela. My guest today, April Nichols with Barium Springs and the Rainbow Center, and from our house, Susan Allen. And ladies, good to have you with me on the program today.
Thanks for having us, Angela.
Thank you very much.
And Susan, I think maybe this is the first time that we've talked on the air.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
And so we're going to be talking about the Rainbow Center and our house and actually a community effort. As we talked about April, actually, right before April started, the month of April,
yeah.
this is Child Abuse Prevention Month.
Yes.
And you had the walk, the first part of the month. Tell us how that went. And that's an annual thing, right?
Yes. This is the third year that we've done the silent walk. And in the past, it's been Barium Springs and our house that have been involved in this. And this year, we actually had a collaborative effort with, I know Susan's going to have to help me with this because I don't have my list in front of me, but DSS, Wilkes GAL program, Wilkes County Schools, Ebenezer Communities and Schools, our house in Barium Springs, and the Child Advocacy Center. Did I get them all, Susan?
Communities and schools.
Yes.
Communities and schools. And the GAL program is the Guardian Ad Litem program.
All right. And I know that you had a lot of these folks, when they did the walk, you had some information for the community when people came out to take advantage of the walk to also learn about how they could work with these agencies throughout Wilkes to prevent child abuse.
Right. It's our thoughts that, you know, in the past we've had these walks and they've been very successful, but, you know, you get people all fired up and wanting to be involved, and then you get to the end and you plant your pinwheel and that's pretty much it. But, you know, to have all these agencies represented there in the yard of our house and have information out for them to see the ways that they can become involved or help to prevent child abuse, I really liked that spin on it. That was the first year we had tried that.
Well, now, you had said earlier when we were talking about this that normally we just highlight the problem, but this time we were highlighting a way to help. And, Susan, we were talking before the program, and you said the community really has stepped up, and they have started helping through the month of April, right?
Right. Well, the community is always willing to help. They just need to be informed as to what they need to do or how it's possible. And through this walk and the collaborative effort at the end where they got information, I think a lot of them have realized, hey, I don't have to be able to do 24 hours a day. I can do something a little here or something a little there. And it's vitally important that everybody realize that helping to eradicate this problem is everyone's job. It's not just April's job at Barium or our job at our house or the Guardian Ad Litem program or something like that. It is everybody's job.
And unfortunately, I wish this weren't true, but as I talked to you guys earlier, this is something that is continuing to get worse as far as the reports of child abuse. They are on the increase right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And I don't know if it's the economy. I don't really know as far as what's making it worse for everyone, you know, the increased stress in people's lives with losing jobs and whatnot. But, yeah, you can look at online, you can look at a graph of the last 20 years, and it steadily goes up every year.
And North Carolina is currently very high ranked, but Wilkes County is eighth in the state in the number of child abuse cases and maltreatment cases for children. We are eighth in the state.
So out of 100 counties, we rank eighth?
Yes, ma'am.
That's not good.
That was the last information that we had, and it's constant. You know, it's every day, and those are reported cases.
So, again, this is something where the community needs to get involved. Are there continuing to be opportunities for people to volunteer with our house, with Barium Springs and other areas? And even now, because those who didn't come out and get information at the walk, how can someone get involved? How can they help to prevent child abuse here in Wilkes County so that we aren't ranked eighth in the state anymore?
Right. Well, there's information out there in lots of community areas. However, each of us have a very active office. They can call April's office. They can call our office. Just because April ends next Tuesday does not mean that the child abuse issue is not going to be in the forefront. The Committee for Child Abuse Prevention has decided that we're going to make a concerted effort to make sure that the community is aware of what's going on. And through the Guardian Ad Litem program and through the Rainbow Center and through our house and through SAFE and through Ebenezer, everybody does their part. And all you have to do is pick up the phone and say, I would like to help. And I am sure that any of those agencies would welcome someone and say, let me tell you how you can help.
Now, Susan, our house actually works throughout the year, and you have different things, the parenting program, and then where the children can meet with parents there in a safe place. refresh our memory as to how you work there in Our House and maybe some volunteer opportunities that people may or may not be aware of.
Well, we, as you mentioned, we do have the Power of Parenting classes, which runs with the Love and Logic curriculum, and those are taught about every 4 weeks, a 7-session week with Mr. Curtis Lomax. We have our Family Advocacy Program, which allows parents who are experiencing difficulties out in the community to call and say, look, I need to figure out how to work my food stamps better, or I need help talking with my kids or whatever. We deal with that. But one of the most important things that you can see a change in the lives of children is the visitation program. Our House is the only place in the county that allows the offending parent, if that's what you want to call it, to have a weekly visit, if it's approved by the court, with their children who have been removed from their home. And, you know, we've got that nice big front porch, and we've got that welcoming aura about us when you walk up. A lot of the children who are younger think they are actually going to mommy and daddy's house to see their mom and dad when they get to see them. And, you know, our supervised visitation program means that somebody is watching that visit to ensure that it stays within the guidelines of the court and that's done what's supposed to be done.
One thing, too, I was actually talking to, I'm not sure if it was Susan or Barry, about Our House, and one thing I didn't know but I thought was really neat was if the parents want to, like, bake cookies right with the kid, there's a working kitchen, and, you know, it's really set up just like a house so that they can enjoy the what you would enjoy in your own house.
Yeah, this isn't set up like a boardroom at the sheriff's department or an office at the police department. I mean, this is a house.
Right, absolutely not. And we have a shelf full of birthday decorations. We have a little kitchen nook if you want to come in and bake cookies with your kids. If you want to go outside and have a birthday party, we can take the things out back. It is a place. That's why it's called Our House, because it's for everybody to be able to make a difference in the lives of children.
But then again, this is a safe haven
for
the children. So for the parent that can't have total custody of the child, this is a way for them to spend time with the parent, with the child, so that there's safety there, but there's still that communication and that bonding.
Yes, ma'am, and that's what's important. If we're going to reunify these families and make life better for them all the way around, then they need to be interactive. They need to see their parents. The children need to know that their parents care about them. And in reverse, the parents need to see those children.
Well, now, how can the community help with Our House?
At this point, Our House is an agency that's been there for over 30 years, and we've been doing that. We've gone through some financial adjustments and some struggles. We're getting ready to have our big fundraiser breakfast next Tuesday at the Smokehouse. But right now, the community just needs to be aware that we do offer a vital service to the community, and that we are constantly, I'm sure as April experiences in her programs too, we're always looking for financial support, help in however ways people feel like they can give to us. And, you know, it takes it to run a month, you know, or per month, whatever.
Now, what is the number there at Our House if someone wanted to call and talk to you and find out more or how they can get involved?
The number at Our House is very difficult to remember. 667-5555.
Yes, both the number at Our
House.
It's about
as hard as ours.
Yes, I started saying, and the Rainbow Center. Is, both of them are very difficult to remember. But, okay, speaking of which, let's switch to Barium Springs and the Rainbow Center. And, April, again, refresh your memory. What are some services and things that you guys do throughout the year, not just during the month of April for Child Abuse Prevention Month, but throughout the year, and how the community can get involved?
Well, we do bi-monthly tours. So the first and third Thursday of the month from 11 to 12, we do a one-hour tour starting at the Rainbow Center, and we take a shuttle out to our group homes, which are out in North Wilkesboro. And it's 1 hour start to finish, and pretty much that tour will tell you everything you need to know about Barium Springs in an hour. It's very informative. And we also do meals for our kids once a week for our group home kids. Once a month. You know, there's always need for any kind of, like right now we're going into summer, and, you know, there's needs for stuff for the kids to do throughout the summer. You got 15 teenagers living at your house, you know, you want to find things to do. So, you know, I'm working with, trying to work with various churches, whatnot, to get some of those items filled, and we're always needing people to come in to our foster parent meetings once a month and help with the children there, so that the parents can actually meet someone that might could do a craft with them. And I mentioned the once a month dinner with our group home kids that we are always looking for sponsors for, and that's a great way too to spend time with our kids and be around them get to know them a little more personally. It's hard for us as an agency with HIPAA guidelines and with the kids that we serve to allow people to just go out and pick up our child and take them to the movies.
Right.
So this is a great way for people to see that these are great kids and, you know, they can spend some time with them.
And again, with the homes that you have, they're set up like homes.
Yeah, absolutely. They're, we actually had a Lowe's Heroes project a few years ago that came in, and we were able to just spruce them up a lot and make them less institutionalized, looking more like a home. And a lot of times when our kids come in to live in these homes, this is the nicest place they've ever been. And we have kids, or our kids are referred from juvenile justice and social services and mental health. So we have kids that come from all walks of life. And, you know, I tell people 9 times out of 10, though, if they come in from juvenile justice at some point in their life, they've been involved in the system with social services. They just didn't decide when they got 16 to start skipping school every day.
Right.
So, you know, it's been an ongoing problem their whole life. But they come in, and some kids are there to pretty much serve a sentence of sorts. You know, they've got to be there 60 days, 90 days. And we've had children that have left and have purposefully done something again so that they can come back because they like the structure there and they felt safe there.
It makes a difference to them.
Yeah.
And well, they can depend on regular meals.
Right.
And
they know they're getting 3 hot meals a day. They know someone's going to help them with their homework. They know someone's going to take them to school. They know, you know, they've got expectations. And you know, whereas some of these kids, they're missing 60, 70 days of school. Parents don't care if they get on the bus or not. And, you know, we actually have had a child before, more than one, but we have kids that have woken themselves up. You know, 8, 9-year-old kids wake themselves up in the morning, get themselves on the bus because they know that's the only hot meal they're going to get that day. And, you know, it just breaks your heart because this is real. This is happening in our backyard. And it's per capita just as likely to happen here as it's going to happen in Charlotte or New York or any of these bigger cities.
Do you have the means through Barium Springs to work with the parents in any way to do kind of reintegration programs?
Yes,
with the students?
We do family reunification, and we also offer intensive family reunification type services where we'll go into the family, you know, before the child's removed. If the child's at risk of being removed, we can go in and work with that family and try to fix what's broken without having the child removed. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out. The child has to go into a group home, and then sometimes the child goes into foster care. But ultimately, you know, with DSS, with us, with everybody, the best place for a child to be is with their parents. And that's what we are all trying to do, is to make sure that, you know, if at all possible, the family unit can stay intact. And if it can't, that's when our services come into play.
All right. We are talking with April Nichols and Susan Allen with Barium Springs and with Our House. This is Focus on the Foothills, April, Child Abuse Prevention Month. We'll have more coming up after this.
Good job, Susan.
And welcome back once again to Focus on the Foothills. We're talking with Susan Allen with Our House and with April Nichols with the Barium Springs Rainbow Center. April, the month of April, is Child Abuse Prevention Month. And we've been discussing about the services that Our House and Barium Springs provide. But quite frankly, Susan, even though Our House has been around for a long time, you don't work alone in this county.
No, obviously not. The idea of preventing child abuse has to be a community effort. We work very closely with the folks at Barium Springs, with the folks at DSS, with the Guardian Ad Litem program, with communities and schools, with Ebenezer's. And there are so many organizations in Wilkes County that help to provide services for children. If it were left to one, it would be an undaunting task. So it has to be a community effort. And it's just something that makes it easier if everybody kind of realizes that if one agency can't handle the problem, somebody else can.
Right.
And it's a community thing. It's got to be. Like I say, the DSS folks refer, they make references, they take children into custody, but then it's up to somebody else, the Foster Parent Association or Barium Springs or somebody, to look after those children until reunification is done. And in the process, then those kids need to meet with their mom. They need to see their dad. So they come to our house to meet with those parents. If they have to be placed long term, they might be at Ebenezer. So it's kind of like a web, and everybody gets together to make sure that the children come first. That's our whole goal.
So it is a network or a web, like you say, a mm-hmm. safety net, if you will, for the children. And it's not a competition between you guys or between DSS mm-hmm. or Ebenezer or the Guardian Ad Litem program or anything, or communities and schools. Everyone is working together for the good
right.
of the children.
We're all here for the right reasons, and that's to make sure that the child comes first, like Susan said. I will mention, too, that just a statistic, there are 200,000 children in North Carolina that need services like the ones that we provide, and this is annually, and only half of those kids are getting helped. So it doesn't matter. You know, Berriam Springs helped 3,000 children last year, and you know, that's not a drop in the bucket to the amount of kids that need help. So, you know, we could work until the cows come home, and unfortunately, you know, it's not going to be enough. It's just keep going, keep working hard. I wish that we could all shut our doors tomorrow and not have to do this job anymore, but it's just not going anywhere.
And again, child abuse seems to be on the rise or on the increase, and Susan, you mentioned earlier that we're ranked 8th out of 100 counties in North Carolina here in Wilkes. Some of the things we address, though, to prevent is like the parenting classes and the reunification that April was talking about. How important is it for maybe young people to understand who haven't been parents before or are just becoming parents? Children don't come with an instruction book like your brand new TV or even your car. Not all children respond the exact same way to the exact same circumstance. What are some things that we can do, just that I can do, if I see someone maybe in my church that's struggling, or if I see a neighbor that maybe is struggling? What are some of the steps I can take?
Probably the first thing that you could do is to make sure that you know that there are community resources. That's what we focused on this whole month, is to let people know that we are here. We're here to help, and we're willing to help. Depending on the type of service, you could make one phone call maybe to April and say, this is a family that I've seen. This is something. Can you help? If not, then April's going to say, well, we might not be able to do it, but pick up the phone and call whatever. We all have at our desk an access for other agencies that are willing to help. It may be calling Brock to help them get some extra food when their food stamps have run out. It might be, and this sounds very minuscule or simple, but our house hands out diapers to mothers who need them twice a month at no charge. Dad's out of work. Mom's not working. The baby needs diapers. The baby's crying. A stressor is created. Therefore, somebody loses their temper.
Yeah.
Okay, so we give them a simple pack of diapers that are donated by church groups or whatever, and maybe we've eliminated that. It's the simple things, but it has to be done together. It has to be a community thing.
And Susan and April, whichever one wants to tackle this, and we just have a few minutes left, but if you suspect that there is a problem, and probably maybe some think, well, I don't want to get involved, or it's probably not what I think, or it's not as bad as what, you know, I might be making it out to be, is it better safe than sorry to just make the phone call to our house or Berriam Springs or DSS or Ebenezer or somebody?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's so many people sit back and think, oh, I should have done something. But, you know, we need to just know what to look for and know the steps to take to help. I actually got a message from my daughter this morning. She's worried about a classmate. And so I just, you know, she wasn't supposed to be texting me from school, but she was. But I sent her message back and said, you know, you need to talk to your guidance counselor about this. This isn't, I can't help you. And she says, well, what do I say? I said, you just need to say that you're worried about him, and this mm-hmm. is why. So, you know, you've got to take that step, and you're not writing somebody out. You're just making sure somebody's okay.
And we're talking about children here, making sure children are safe.
You know, and it's important for other children to know that their friends are safe.
Right.
They see it sometimes more than we do. And as adults, we tend to, if a child tells us something, we tend to say, oh, it's just them being a kid. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's something that we need to address. And whether people realize it or not, every person in our state is a mandated reporter. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but that's a terminology that says if you suspect something is going on, by law, you're supposed to report it. It's easier to weed out the bad ones that are not a serious situation than it is to try to fix that child later after it's too late. We've got to take care of them now instead of trying to fix them later.
Absolutely. Right? All right, ladies, thank you so much. We are out of time. But again, Susan, if you want to find out more about our house, the number is?
667-5555.
And April, the number at Barium Springs?
667-3333.
You know, these numbers are both so difficult to remember. All right. Ladies, thank you so much. And hopefully the next time we speak, you can come in and say, here's the good news, the child abuse report cases or the child abuse cases are down.
Right.
Not up.
I hope so.
That's our goal. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. This has been Focus on the Foothills. Coming up, a check on that weather forecast.